Done already? Right.
Oh. Is our long national nightmare now over?
It wasn't a national. It was a...
What's a little hyperbole between friends?
Pardon me?
Why didn't you vote?
I don't usually vote on these bills unless it's a tie.
What would you give the budget at a scale of 1 to 10 as far as how much you approve of it or not?
I think it's right in the middle. I think we were able to at least get zero no cuts in higher ed, and I think that was a good thing. I think we did add $54 million in this struggle, if you will, to K through 12, and the 4,000 teachers we talked about that would be laid off, I hope cuts that by about 50%. So we might have saved a couple thousand jobs there. We haven't got that totally calculated. So I think I put it right in the middle.
One of the things, Mr. Speaker, that always came up in this debate was over how schools should be funded, et cetera. One of the big points of contention is should only follow the students or should it stay with the school districts. How do you explain to Hoosiers that money should keep going to school districts where they just don't have the student population that they used to?
Well, you have to pay for heat, you have to pay for lights, and you have to pay for a lot of fixed costs, health care, and all those things keep on going. So there's a substantial expense that remains, and that's one of the reasons you can't just abandon schools and say, okay, you lost 10 students or so. Also, when you lose students, even if you lost 100, you don't lose them all in a class. So maybe you have 30 kids in a second grade class, and you lose four. And each class you lose maybe 32. Well, maybe you could eliminate one teacher if they're all in the same class, but you still have to keep a teacher in every class. So it's not that simple to just say, okay, you lost these number of students, you lose all that money.
What was it like going up against Mitch Daniels once again this year? How's the relationship?
Well, sometimes he gets a little excited, but and uses, yes, he does. And uses words that are a little over the top, but, you know, he's a worthy opponent.
You said this was a Republican-flavored budget.
Yes,
I
did.
Still a Republican-flavored budget. And
yes, it
leave
is.
A bad taste in the mouth of Democrats.
Yes, it is a Republican-flavored budget. The bad taste has been watered down a little bit.
Would you have voted no if you voted?
Probably yes.
We talked a lot about compromise. Was this a fair compromise at the end of the day to you?
It was a compromise, and that's what we needed. We needed to get some of the onerous provisions out. For instance, one was a tax that was retroactive. And a large corporation came to me and said that's going to cost them $20 million and would hurt them substantially, and they might have to lay off 2,000 or more workers. We then found out that with other corporations, might have lost 6,000 jobs. That was mitigated. It's no longer in there. And so I think we saved jobs by taking that out. See, that's such a that question is, I hear that every now and then. Well, there's winners and losers, but one thing in the process, I think the 2,000 or more teachers that would have lost their jobs are winners. The 6,000 workers that might have lost their jobs if that retroactive tax stayed in there are winners. And I think a lot of students that are going to colleges are winners, because I think that -4% cut the governor had for higher ed will now help them not increase tuition as much.
Representative Upstitch had called this a good deal.
Who did?
Representative Upstitch did. I'm wondering if you disagree with that, with his assessment.
I agree with that last one. It's the best I know we as Democrats could do. I think it's fair to say that it's a better deal than they tried to deal us with, and I think it was an improvement. Well, I know it was an improvement in funding, at least higher ed and K through 12. And as you heard the chairman when he was explaining it, we did get increases in choice, and we got increases in several other categories that were important, and we got rid of some onerous provisions. One of them in there was like a tax on a health benefits for teachers. They were going to charge so much if you didn't get the certain state package and you continued on a local, you had to pay the difference, and it was more money. There was different ways of taking money out of, and they had a similar one for state employees where they took some of their retirement, and it's just a little, I don't call it nickel and dime, but a thousand here, a thousand there from individuals, and we softened that blow. So, I mean, they had some winners in there because they kept the money that they would have gotten.
Should we have gotten to this point, Mr. Speaker, with about 7 hours to go before the government would have shut down?
Sure. I mean, let's face it. We're an economy that's lost hundreds of millions of dollars. They had an agenda that was really an attack on public schools, and we had to mitigate that. We had to moderate that. And I think it's sort of somewhat of a national attack from the right wing of the Republican Party on public schools. And I think we were sort of a testing ground. And I think we saved the public schools. I think they got them a little bit struggling, but I think we at least are on their feet.
I'm sorry, did you say if you had voted, you would have voted against the bill?
Yes.
Oh, a couple things.
How much did the threat of the government shutdown, did that play a role in finding compromise or not?
Well, we were always seeking compromise. I do think I think whenever there's even an imagined deadline, it helps you get to a closer point. I think also the time you put in. I mean, we've worked many hours, and there's a number of factors. And there was some give. Remember, as soon as the governor proposed his bill, they said, that's it, no more negotiation, basically. And they passed it over here, no more negotiation. So at first, we had open negotiation, and that took several public hearings. And then when the negotiations were open, it took a while to get movement, and movement helped get us to this compromise.
Mr. Speaker, one final question. What you guys had to go through just to get this budget passed, when next year comes up, it'll be 2010, there'll be an election year, the whole issue of property tax caps and whether that should be on the referendum will be out there. What does this session tell you about what you folks have to deal with next session with an election year and a map that has to be redrawn as well?
Well, every year brings us challenges. This just helped us prepare for those challenges.
Just with the CIB making this more difficult, that was clear today.
Absolutely.
Was there any thought at all about just getting that out of there?
Well, sure. I mean, I had a separate bill.
I mean, not having a CIB bailout at all, was that an option?
Not having it at all? Not if you were from Central Indiana, I don't think it would be. Not really. I think we were just trying to find one that was equitable and more localized and not so much costing the whole state. But no, it was something. I think if they had been more open about fixing the other problems and not just say, for instance, the Shelbyville Anderson problem could be fixed by a tax adjustment, fair tax. But when they call that a problem gaming and throw it out of the table, they play games over here. The basketball's a game, football's a game. So that's a form of gaming. I mean, you can play that game too. She wasn't even smiling. No, it's just the attitude of whether you want to fight to the death or not. I appreciate fighters, but sometimes you want to live to fight another day.
So
I don't think it's hard feelings. I just think of frustration, but
summer vacation.
My summer vacation. Trying to make up the money I lost by being here.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Okay.